Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks to Toby for the update. So the name who's interviewing with Washington, as you've now heard, for the D.C. job on Thursday, the recently fired head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon.
Choo, choo, choo.
This is a name that came up weeks ago when it became pretty clear that he was going to be on the chopping block. And I've liked this idea since the beginning, by the way. He was the DB's coach for the Colts from 18 to 20. He became the coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles from 21 to 22. That included a Super Bowl run where they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs before he got the head coaching job in Arizona, where he's been the last 3 years. So he has for now almost 5 years been either running the defense or running an entire team. Very much qualified, maybe overqualified for this job. And I thought he did a heck of a job in Philly. They are currently one of the most talented defenses in the league, just sheer overall pieces. Yeah. I think Vic Fangio might be a top five coordinator in football. So they play generally at a championship level defensively. But I thought what Gannon did when he was there as their coordinator was got a lot out of the pieces that they had. That was before they really became this elite personnel group. I really, really liked him as a coordinator in Philadelphia.
So that was in 2022 when they went 14-3. And you might remember them from losing the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. So the year before, they were 9-8. They were kind of building something. He was decent. The numbers were pretty good there. Overall defense, very middle of the pack in terms of yards, points, takeaways, net yards per attempt, etc. That Super Bowl year, where they didn't win it, but they got pretty close in 2022, oh, man. Second in yards, eighth in points, fifth in takeaways, good solid rush defense, passing defense, number one in yards allowed, fifth in interceptions, net yards per attempt, number one again. This is the thing that I crave. Rushing defense is awesome. That's cool. Where are my takeaways? Where are my that, you might remember them from sacking the quarterback 2 trillion times as well when he was there as a defensive coordinator.
I was going to say, that was the year, I think, when they got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs, if I remember, when they had like 70 sacks.
Yeah.
Because the story was they didn't have any sacks in that game. And if I remember the whole deal, the field was really slick and they were slipping and sliding. Wasn't that a thing?
I think that sounds right.
That was that story.
Brandon Graham at 35 years old had 11 sacks. Josh Sweat had 11. Javon Hargrave had 11. Hassan Reddick, who they picked up for nothing in free agency. Anybody could have had 16.
By the way, Brandon Graham's still playing. How crazy is that?
Fletcher Cox, who was a badass, had 7. They were unbelievable on defense. Now, again, a lot of talent there, but also a dude that maximized. The results in Arizona did not follow when he was the head coach. Now, again, hard to figure whose fault that is exactly. We've seen that pathology a couple times where a guy that's a good defensive coordinator becomes a head coach. He's got to worry about everything. The defense suffers. I don't know if he was actively doing everything on defense or he deployed somebody that he was helping. I don't know what I don't know there. But I know this, that Philadelphia year is so good that you could dine out off of that for a long time.
His second year with the Eagles defense in 22, they were number one in defense, yards per play,
so
4.78. They were number one against the pass, as you mentioned, not as good against the run, 24th, but I'm okay with that. They allowed 5.5 yards per pass attempt. That's like three fewer
Insane.
Than Washington
Insane.
In most of their games this year. They were number one. Wow, I didn't remember this. Okay, number six in picking you off. So just outside of the top five in interceptions. Number one in sacks, we talked about. They got a sack 13% of your dropbacks that year. They were dialing up. They did a lot of other things really, really well. They were 7th in goal to go, 11th in the red zone, 1st in yard differential per game, 3rd in point differential per game. That's why he got a head coaching job after the Super Bowl. So this is a potential hire that I would be all over. I'd be whelmed by Patrick Graham. I'd be fine with that. I'd even say I'd like Patrick Graham. I think he's done a good job for a long time. I'd like Gannon more. I'd like Ulbrich's my one seed, but the Falcons aren't allowing him to interview with anybody yet. So he's at the very top of my list. My number one dream is Brian Flores. I don't think that's going to come to a reality.
Head coach job, right, you think?
I don't know if he gets a head coaching job or not because he's like suing the league and there's all kinds of baggage there. But I also don't think he would leave Minnesota, where he's got better players and comfort, to come to Washington, where they don't have very good players. And there are other D.C. openings. There's like 8 openings of new head coaches. Somebody's got to have really good defensive personnel if Flores wants to leave the Vikings. That's better than here. So it's funny. We thought there was so many superstar-type DCs, and there might still be. But can Schwartz get out of Cleveland?
Yeah,
sounds like
hope.
They're trying to handcuff him. Can Ulbrich get out of Atlanta? Sounds like they're trying to lock him in. So I still say Raheem makes sense. Gannon makes sense. And then I would be cool with Patrick Graham. They've also interviewed multiple other guys already who have not ever been defensive coordinators before.
That's one where I don't think you have to go neophyte. I don't think you have to go brand new in that regard. I'd love somebody with some pelts on the wall there, because you're probably not at risk of losing anybody within a year or two. I mean, maybe somebody falls in love with Jonathan Gannon. I think that Arizona time, because it trended so badly and ended so badly, I don't think anybody's beating down your door
for him to go anywhere. If you go with a grown-up, then Dan Quinn basically can just not worry at all about the defense and worry about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Here's who they've interviewed so far. You ready? Patrick Graham of the Raiders. He's been all over the place.
Yeah, just a tough sell for me coming from there. Probably not his fault, but just doesn't excite me.
Because of the year he just had. He has had some really good defenses in the past.
I believe it, yeah.
Chiefs defensive line coach Joe Cullen, who's been with Spags.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson, who's actually a local guy, went to a DMV area high school in the area here. I'd be okay with that. I think even though they were in the 20s in most categories, that would not be as exciting as like Raheem, Gannon, Ulbrich, one of those big names. But I'd put him in the same category as kind of Patrick Graham. I'd be perfectly fine with that hire. He was a DC, did some okay things in Tennessee this year.
Where is my request to interview Al Harris, please? Where is that?
Yeah, what have we heard on Al Harris to the Commanders?
I've not heard a word. I need that to happen right meow.
That's a great question.
Wherever that guy goes, you'll never guess what happens. They force a billion turnovers.
It's got to be that we just haven't heard that one yet. That would be really, really weird.
Because I know they're still playing, and this team doesn't seem to want to wait around. They're not picking from currently employed guys or currently playing guys that are coaching there. But I need requests to interview Al Harris for your defensive coordinator job, please. And thank you. I need that now.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, it would be crazy if they didn't put in a slip to talk to Al Harris or Mike McDaniel, and they made two hires, wouldn't it?
Yes. McDaniel, I understand. If you had a convo behind the scenes, he's getting head coaching looks.
That's a hypothetical that we don't know happened.
No, we don't.
We have to assume. I'm just saying, based on what I was told, there was no formal process to line up an interview with Mike McDaniel before they decided to hire David Blough. Now, I'm not a crazy person, so I do have to just guess that Dan Quinn called him and was like, hey, man, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, I want to be a head coach, or I got options. It's going to take 3 or 4 weeks, or whatever he said that you didn't like, that's fine. But if there was no phone call, if he just texted him when he got fired, hey, bro, keep your head up, go do some tough ass with good people in your next stop, and then you never actually talked to him about your opening, that's not very good.
Nope.
Like, you should absolutely be dangling the Jaden Daniels carrot in front of him.
That's the one I don't understand, though. Back to Al Harris. Because Dan Quinn's guy. They were in Dallas together, and they took a bunch of no-names and had, Daron Bland as a defensive player of the year candidate, and everybody since he's gone has gone back to normal, just being Jags, and they even moved on from Diggs down there. I mean, this is a guy that it's no longer coincidence that when he shows up, you get a bunch of turnovers. Chicago was among the league leaders, if not the league leader, if memory serves, in interceptions and how good they are at punching the football out. I mean, Collinsworth couldn't stop talking about it. These guys, every time you're close to the ball, you better be careful. Yes, bring me that. All I ask for my defense is be good at something. If you're willing to give up yards, be good at turnovers. If you're not going to be good at turnovers, at least be willing to sack the quarterback. If you can't sack the quarterback, at least be good at stopping something or taking something away, or bend but don't break, whatever you do. This group under Quinn and Rivera before them has been bad at everything for basically 6 straight years, which is unfathomable to me. You know what I mean? Like, stand on something. They tried to do, we're going to stop the run this year. We're going to beef up the interior. We'll try that. Gross.
The only thing I can think, first off, I'm assuming that either they're going to interview him or they've put in a permission slip to do so already. That is my...
And we just haven't heard yet?
Yeah, exactly. Because we're not hearing everything all the time. Like, I was just looking. There's a couple rumors about him out there, or like some knowledge of what he's doing. But it seems like we're not at that part of the cycle yet where his agent or whoever is not getting a lot of word out there on him. He's not all over the place. Other agents are working some overtime. Cliff Kingsbury's agent didn't waste any time.
No, he's got that unlimited data plan. People know.
Mike McDaniel and Richmond Flowers, where he's interviewing right now. Seems like Al Harris isn't really playing that game just yet, so I got to assume something could be coming down the pike. But the other thing is, if they don't interview him, with their knowledge of him institutionally, as you said, that would be telling. I'm not even saying I would agree with it, but Dan Quinn knows him better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Just like Mike McDaniel. If Dan Quinn knows Mike McDaniel like he does, and he chose not to interview him or you know, make him a real candidate. I'm not telling you he's right. I'm just saying that is revealing as to how he thought he would have fit in the building.
It reveals something, right.
Let's go to A.J. Brown for a second. So the wide receiver from the Eagles who gets into it with Nick Sirianni on the sideline yesterday. It was the most crash and burn playoff loss for the Eagles you could have anticipated, where all of the warts from the year kind of showed up in the closing minutes of that game. And Brown inexplicably dropped two passes in the fourth quarter that he's caught all year long. You hate to see it.
No, it's such. It broke my heart.
I mean, take my arm, but don't have A.J. Brown drop passes in a big game. When the game ended, it became pretty clear that Philly media wanted blood and that the narrative was going to be that A.J. Brown's got to go. And that's kind of where we are today, that a lot of people are calling for the Eagles to trade him and get picks. I certainly would. He was just a terrible teammate all year long. And when you're good and winning, you can't constantly be trying to placate or have to deal with a squeaky wheel. Squeaky wheels are for bad teams and bad locker rooms. Mm. When I'm winning all the time, I don't want to have to keep getting out the WD-40. So it just didn't work. Here are the most likely teams for A.J. Brown. Have you seen the odds yet?
I did. I saw them. And I'm trying to pull it up here, but all of a sudden the internet decided, not you, Danny, not right now.
Number one, the Baltimore Ravens.
Damn Ravens, you're
home. 3-1. I could see that. I think it would be a good fit in the sense of adding a good wide receiver to Baltimore where Zay Flowers has become a 1,000-yard guy. Here is the problem I would have with that. Their offense will never go through their wideouts. So there is this Eagles element of, we're going to run Derrick Henry. Lamar, on plenty of his dropbacks, is going to scramble, and there will occasionally be a design run from him as well, which just takes some of the chances.
Just the chance to eat, yeah.
There's only so many footballs to go around. So you're never going to be as involved, targeted, getting as many catches in that offense as you want. They also don't prioritize their wide receivers a ton. They prioritize their tight ends. They run a lot of screens as well. Now, maybe it's a different offense without Todd Monken. But as long as Lamar has been there, the receiver production has never been great. And we've always said, oh, it's not good enough. Go get Steve Smith or go get this guy or draft this guy. They've drafted all the receivers. Zay Flowers is the first one that's finally become this perennial 1,000-yard type guy. I think Lamar has gotten better and better, you know, throwing the ball generally. I don't think that's a weakness of his per se. Guy's a multi-time MVP. But do I want a pain-in-the-ass diva who demands touches, who quite literally is on record saying, look, I won a Super Bowl last year and I wasn't really that fulfilled. The way I enjoy football, now I'm paraphrasing, is to be involved and to be putting up numbers. Like, I'm sorry. Like, no, I'm just not doing that if I'm the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, when your needs match up with the team's needs, it can be great. You know what I mean? Like, I think about selfish people a lot. Like, I've had folks like this in my life where when your goal aligns with their goal, my God, are they all over it? They're helpful and kind and thoughtful, or so it seems, but they're just serving their own ends. The minute it's divergent, and you don't have the same goal anymore, it's like, oh my God, I can't count on you at all. So if you need someone to catch 120 balls, that might work. The next team is the team for me.
Next, Bet Online. These are the most likely landing spots in terms of the odds for A.J. Brown if the Eagles were to trade him. The New England Patriots at 4-1.
I'm making that move if I'm them.
So they have Stephon Diggs under contract for 2 more years. You're going to have Stephon Diggs and A.J. Brown in the same locker room?
I may or may not have Stephon Diggs if a suspension comes down based on incidents here or there. Not being making light of that.
You could also dangle him.
Totally true.
Shop him.
May not be the best time. Contract. Yeah. But I think this is what they need. I mean, the next team also, we'll talk about in a second, but I think the Bills, the Patriots could use that alpha.
I think Vrabel could actually, like, he is such a personality.
Yep.
If you see Stephon Diggs right now, he's doing this bit. Maybe he's just matured overnight, I don't know, where all of a sudden he's like the best teammate, and I think there's a little bit of legal trouble, and so he's like on his best behavior. And
absolutely, Mr. Vrabel.
Off more likable and everything. Having said that, he has been a model citizen, and him and Vrabel have a really good, fun relationship. There was a video that came out last week I showed you where it's actually great, where Stephon Diggs came over to like Mike Vrabel, who's talking to Drake May. It's like one of these mic'd up things. He's like, run it behind me. Let me go throw a block. And he's like, get the bleep away from here, Stephon. And he's like, come on, coach, let me throw a block. And he looks at him, he goes, go away. He's like, I just want to block. He goes, you've never blocked a day in your life or something like that.
Yeah.
And Stephon just starts like laughing and he's like, okay, coach. And he just like walks away. Like, their relationship is, like, very playful and fun. But I think he is able, I don't know if it's the player in him or what, to like deal with these big personality players in a way. Maybe it's just he puts them in their place and doesn't deal with it. I don't know. Here's my answer. The Buffalo Bills at 5-1.
These are the two teams.
The Bills, man. They need a receiver so badly.
He can be what they thought Keon Coleman was going to be.
Swung and missed.
Yeah.
He made a nice play yesterday.
There was a nice moment.
But, I mean, they are so desperate for help, and he's deactivated more often than he isn't. They're throwing to some guys at Slater or Staten.
A.C. Slater.
Shavers.
Yeah.
Whoever that person is.
Tim Shavers.
It's Shavers. It's the ghost of Brandon Cooks. It's Tim Shavers, who produced the Bustin' Loose Baseball. That's Darris. That's the one I do with Toby.
Yep.
What's the other Nats spot? You know what? Locked On with Ryan Clary. He produces that, I think. Or Toby, do you know, is it Bustin' Loose Baseball that Tim Shavers produces?
Nats Chat. Come on.
Nats Chat. That's real interesting. Mm. Bustin' Loose Baseball. Available wherever you get your audio. Just don't expect any new episodes.
I was going to say, any new episodes dropping?
In the next couple of hours. I mean, we made the promise. We will do an episode anytime big news breaks.
Just looking.
Tumbleweeds.
Let me just.
Raiders 6-1.
I guess.
I cannot bring
in. Island of Misfit Toys.
What about this? Fernando Mendoza and A.J. Brown. I mean, is that the best buddy cop movie you've ever seen in your life?
I'd watch it.
Hello, Mr. Brown. How are you today, sir? I've polished up this apple for you. Get the bleep away from me. Like, that's how I envision their relationship.
Like, why don't we meet and he gives him an address? We're actually at a Target because you're going to get Targets this year. Like, that's, oh, my God.
A.J. Brown, like, gets a text. He's like, whose number is this? He's like, yeah, that's Fernando. Like, you see the text and it's like, hello, Mr. Brown, sir. I'd love to have you over with dinner with my girlfriend. We'll be making delicious French toast sticks and syrup and all of my favorites, including Fruit Loops.
Have you ever had grilled chicken breast with nothing on it? I mean, it's very healthy.
They're drafting that dude 1-1. I want to talk about this later in the week. Has Fernando Mendoza ever missed a throw? When I watch this dude, it's insane. It's like back shoulder throws and down the field. I can't. This is what I'm about to say is just like so dumb. I just can't envision that guy being like a zero dark 30, like killer
an
quarterback.
Assassin.
Like, just a take your, like Kirk is like, he is 100% of the nerdery where Kirk is like a 47 or something. But like Kirk, I remember some of the analysts, Mark Sanchez talked about this, which is a weird thing to bring up now, I guess, and some other analysts. But they would be like, Kirk Cousins is a, they would call him like, he's a killer on the football field. Like, you just get him out there, and now he's an athlete. And so he was like this when he played basketball or whatever. Sometimes these nerdy guys that want to sing and, you know, do these wacky things all day long, you know, they could just get on the athletic field and become different people. Watching Fernando Mendoza for like 30 seconds, I go, I can't draft him. Not 1-1. I can't do it. And then I watch him play, and I'm like, he is huge, a little bit athletic, and he makes every throw all the time exactly like he's supposed to. Like, you could walk it out and hand it to people.
I mean, he if the situation was different, you get him in the Kyle Shanahan system, where Shanahan's just like using the joystick, and it's like playing a video game. Like, I'll do what you say, coach. Like, you know what he reminds me of? And this is a weird comp, because I went on a YouTube journey last night. It was a whole thing. My kid couldn't sleep. Like, Jimmer Fredette, when he was in college, was unstoppable. And people fell for it. And they were like, he could do this at any level. I'm going, no, he can't. Like, he's dominating Utah. He's beating the brakes off of New Mexico State, hitting step backs from 28 feet. He's not getting that off in the association. That's not going to happen. It won't work. I just feel like it won't work. Although they're doing it at the highest level of college football, so who knows? I would take my chances with that guy. As like the winner of winners, if I'm a big fat loser organization like the Raiders are.
He is adorable in the way that like a 5 or 6 year old kid, like my son does things occasionally where I'm like, God, this kid's precious. Fernando Mendoza is precious.
It's precious.
I mean, he is. His parents have done such a good job. He's just like, hello, Mrs. Holly Rowe. I want you to know that I know that as a sideline reporter and a female in this industry, you probably often deal with great strife online. And I'd like you to know that I appreciate your professionalism, the quality of your questions, and the work that you put in. And I'll be here for you as long as you need me to be. Any other questions, madam? And it's like, who is this person? Like, what is going on with this guy? He can't be real. He literally just can't be a person. This can't be a guy. And then you put him out on the football field, and he's like slicing up Alabama. He's just destroying LSU. He makes Georgia look terrible. Ohio State can't stop him. They got every top 10 pick. Are we going to take Caleb Downs? Are we going to take Sonny Styles? Is it going to be Arvel Reese? Not one of them can do anything about this nerd.
Just five stars bouncing off him like Teflon.
Hoosier Nation for being here. This is a huge home field advantage. That's why we had such a great victory today. Because of you, Hoosier Nation, thank you guys so much. We're so excited for the opportunity to go down to Miami, play in the national championship against a great team, the Hurricanes. Hoosier Nation, we need you all there. We need you all there so we could go and compete in the national champ.
I freaking love this guy. Like, yes, more of whatever, more of this in the world. I need this guy to just good things to happen to him. I hope he goes 1-1 and lights it up.
Do you think
Brady will like him?
I want him to go somewhere else. I want him to have a chance. I think that's the place right now where everything goes just to fail.
But do you think Tom Brady watches him, studies him, talks to him?
Yeah, sees himself a little bit.
Do you think so?
Yeah, maybe not as hyper-competitive as Brady was. Brady was a lunatic, famously so. But the football nerd that loves football so much and just wants to do that and, you know, can spin it, yeah.
He can definitely spin it. All right, Monday Night Football tonight, final of the six games in this wild card round this evening. This is your ESPN telecast. This is a little Joe Buck, Troy Aikman situation. By the way, I'm team Troy Aikman has been on a heater lately. He's like calling people out. He's bringing a little attitude. He's telling you when people are playing like crap. He's been great all year, I think. Buck's always gotten a raw deal, but I think is excellent. So this should be a good broadcast tonight. Texans 3-point favorites in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Feels like a Houston runaway win. But road game, playoffs, tough environment, young quarterback still in C.J. Stroud, offense that's very up and down. Maybe the Steelers can hang around deep into the game.
Over under 38.5 or 38, depends on your book.
Under.
Yeah, smells like a disgusting under. I don't know how much winter weather is there. I don't think it's going to matter. This is a good old-fashioned rock fight.
If I were to tell you right now, this is either going to be a 30-24 game where Houston wins or like a 13-10 game.
That one.
Doesn't it feel that way?
100%.
How are the Steelers going to move the ball on the Texans? I don't think we're overrating Houston to say it's a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Defense is excellent, but it feels like there's going to be a muffed punt. It feels like a tip pass for an interception. Pittsburgh's going to do the thing that Pittsburgh does. Despite not being very good, we'll be in the game. A pass interference call, a back shoulder from from Aaron Rodgers to somebody will get him in the spot. It's going to be a rock fight tonight. It won't be entertaining in the sense that these other games probably were. But I still think it's going to end up being really compelling, really close. I think Mike Tomlin, Steelers, at home, this feels very cover the spready to me.
Also, I am going to make a sizable bet on the Houston Texans.
Don't do it. You told me to tell you not to do it.
No, but something has changed. The line has moved. I'm now getting the 2.5 that I wanted all along. So a field
goal
win. Yeah. Right now, FanDuel Paulson, -2.5 for the Texans. By the way, the line moved toward the Steelers?
Yeah.
What do the sharps know? That's what I want to know.
So right now, the sharps, money's coming in offshore. Dude, cut to Tom Hardy from Mad Max. That's bait. They're baiting you. There's chum in the water, Grant.
Texans, this is a several-unit play.
Big units?
This is several. Now, I will say this. I'm going to make a play on this. I will not tell my wife about the size of this unit. I don't want her to know other units are out there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This kind of size. But here's what we're going to do.
Uh-huh.
I am going to either, this is going to make or break me.
Okay.
Either I'm not allowed to bet for the rest of the NFL playoffs if I miss this tonight, or
oh my God,
I'm hooked and I'm going to be playing with house money.
I have a very small unit, if you know what I mean.
Darius, I'm not saying you're wrong. I am saying the unit's going to get bigger tonight. That's what I'm trying to tell you. For Darius Ryan and for Toby, Toper Time's coming up next. Grant and Danny saying so long. Thank you for listening to this here program. Enjoy Monday Night Football.
Thank you for coming.
Commanders coaching news today. They're requesting an interview with Panthers assistant quarterback coach Mike Bercovici. He would serve as the team's quarterback coach, just 32 years old, potentially adding to a young staff on the offensive side of the ball. Defensive coordinator news, Jonathan Gannon is interviewing with the Commanders on Thursday. for the defensive coordinator job. He'll interview with the Cowboys for that same position tomorrow. Then he'll interview with the Titans for head coach on Sunday. Other coaching news around the league. Former Commanders OC Cliff Kingsbury interviewed with the Ravens this morning. Ravens also requested an interview with Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz for their head coaching job. And the Falcons announced an official interview with John Harbaugh today. Harbaugh has also had preliminary extensive phone calls with the Giants, Titans, Browns, Raiders, and Cardinals. NFL injuries. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford has a finger sprain on his throwing hand, but he's still going to be good to go for the divisional round. Christian Gonzalez is in concussion protocol for the Patriots, and Niners tight end George Kittle left the game early yesterday. He did, in fact, tear his Achilles. Tonight, final game of the wild card round of the NFL playoffs, Texans and Steelers in Pittsburgh. You can hear that game right here on the Fan kickoff at 8:15. From the Crop Medcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.